Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at a question you sent in about the prophets in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Were they writers, like carefully crafting their messages, or were their words mostly passed down through, you know, oral tradition? You're really interested in the historicity of the Bible.
Right.
And to kind of help us figure all this out, you sent in Robert Menoy's lecture series on biblical prophecy.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack here, so let's dive right in.
Yeah, this question of how those prophetic messages were actually transmitted might seem kind of simple on the surface,
right?
But it really digs into how we understand the Bible and its origins.
So Vinoy, in these lectures, he dives into something called the history of tradition school.
Yes.
Which really emphasizes oral tradition.
Yeah.
Can you break that down for us? What's the central argument there?
Yeah, so the history of tradition school basically argues that in ancient Israel, people relied heavily on oral transmission, even for important things like laws, histories.
Right.
And yes, those prophetic messages.
Okay.
One of the key figures in this school of thought is H.S. Nyberg.
Okay.
And he believed that writing was mainly used for practical stuff like contracts, while religious texts were shared orally for generations before eventually being written down.
Hold on. So he's saying that something as important as a prophet's message wouldn't have been written down right away.
That's his argument.
That's pretty surprising.
It is.
Did he have any, like, evidence to back that up?
Yeah, he did. He pointed to some pretty interesting examples from other cultures.
Okay.
For instance, in ancient Babylon, there are texts that actually encourage people to memorize things.
Really?
Even promising rewards for those who could recite them by heart.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like an edge of honor to have all that knowledge stored in your memory.
Wow, that's so different from how we learn today. But I guess in a culture without widespread literacy,
right,
memorization would be key.
Absolutely. And he also points to the early days of Islam, where the Quran was mainly passed down orally before being compiled into a written text.
Right.
So it kind of makes you realize that writing things down wasn't always the automatic go-to method.
That's a great point. You know, it reminds me of that story about the Jewish scholar Yohanan ben Zakkai.
Oh, yeah.
Who could recite the entire Mishnah from memory. Talk about a mental feat.
That's why he even used his knowledge of the Mishnah to tell time, knowing exactly how long it would take to recite each section.
Oh, wow.
Now, Nyberg's student, Berkland, took this idea even further.
Okay.
He argued that what we have today as the prophetic books of the Bible are actually collections of oral traditions that were constantly being reshaped and reinterpreted over time.
So instead of a single prophet writing down a complete book,
right,
he's suggesting it was more of a community effort.
Exactly.
With stories and sayings evolving over generations.
Yeah, yeah.
That definitely adds a layer of complexity to how we view those texts.
For sure.
And another scholar that Vinoy brings up, Edward Nielsen,
yes,
builds on this idea, right?
He does.
What does he say?
He argues that writing in ancient Israel was primarily for practical matters.
Okay.
And that religious texts were only written down much later.
Okay.
Especially after the exile.
Okay.
This obviously raises some important questions about, you know, how can we be sure what the original messages really were?
So it seems like there's a pretty strong case being made for the importance of oral tradition.
For sure.
But was it really the only way that prophetic messages were, like, transmitted?
Yeah, that's the question.
It's still a little bit hard for me to wrap my head around that.
I know.
What do you think?
I definitely agree that oral tradition played a big role in ancient Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Even Vinoy himself acknowledges this.
Okay.
Pointing to examples like Exodus 10.1-2 and Deuteronomy 6.2035.
Right.
Where parents are specifically instructed to pass down stories of God's actions to their children.
Oh, you're right. Those passages really emphasize the importance of, like,
yes,
telling and retelling those stories to future generations.
Absolutely.
And it's not just in those books. We also see it in the songs.
Yeah.
Like Psalms 44 and 78, which talk about remembering and recounting God's deeds.
Exactly. So there's no denying that oral tradition was there and it was important.
Right.
But was it the only way?
Okay.
That's where things get even more interesting.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued.
Okay.
Let's get into it. What makes you think there's more to the story?
Well, let's look closely at those examples Nielsen uses to support his theory.
Okay.
The Babylonian texts and the Quran.
Right.
Yes, they were initially transmitted orally, but they were ultimately based on written originals.
Okay.
The oral recitation wasn't a replacement for the writing.
Right.
It was a way to preserve and learn those written texts.
So the oral tradition was more of a complement to the written source.
Exactly.
Rather than a substitute for it.
Right.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When we look at ancient Israel specifically, there's actually a lot of evidence for writing being used long before the exile, even for important texts.
Huh.
Remember those law codes Nyberg mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Well, similar law codes, like the Hammurabi and Lipidishtar codes,
right,
existed in written form centuries before Moses.
Yeah.
So the idea that writing was only for practical things doesn't quite hold up.
That's a good point. It's hard to imagine those complex legal systems being developed and maintained solely through oral transmission.
Exactly.
There had to be written records involved.
Right. And there's more. Even the Bible itself mentions written records.
Like what?
For example, Numbers 33.2 talks about Moses keeping records of the Israelites' journeys.
Okay.
And other texts mention written histories and chronicles.
So we've got law codes, historical records, and even travel logs.
Yes.
It's starting to look like writing was more common in ancient Israel than Nielsen's theory suggests.
It seems that way.
But what about the prophets themselves? Do we have any evidence that they actually, like, wrote things down?
We absolutely do.
Okay.
In fact, Vannoy highlights several passages in 1 and 2 Chronicles that specifically mention prophets engaging in writing.
Really?
For instance, 1 Chronicles 29.29 states that the events of King David's reign were recorded by the prophets Samuel, Nathan, and Gad.
Wow, so we have prophets literally acting as scribes and historians. That's pretty compelling evidence against the oral-only view.
It is.
But what about Jeremiah? Didn't Nielsen claim that he didn't write anything down?
He did, but Vinay has a strong counter-argument for that.
What's that?
He points to Jeremiah 36, which describes Jeremiah's writing process in detail.
Okay.
He dictated his prophecies to his scribe Baruch, who then read them aloud to the people.
That's fascinating. So we have a prophet actively engaging in the act of writing, using a scribe to help him get his message out there.
Exactly.
It really paints a different picture from what Nielsen was suggesting.
Yeah.
It seems like written texts were an important part of prophetic ministry.
It seems that way.
Now, while I think we've established that the prophets were writers, there's still the question of oral tradition.
Yes.
Even if writing was, you know, prevalent, could oral tradition have played a complementary role?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's explore that in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll be right back after a short break.
Sounds good.
We'll be delving into some fascinating examples where oral tradition might actually enhance our understanding of the Bible.
Can't wait. Welcome back. So we've established that those Old Testament prophets were likely writers.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we can dismiss oral tradition, right?
No, not at all. It's fascinating to consider how oral tradition might have interacted with and even enhance our understanding of certain biblical events.
Okay, what kind of examples are we talking about here?
Well, take Psalm 77, for example.
Okay.
It talks about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
But it includes details like thunder and lightning.
Okay.
Which, if you look closely at the Exodus account, those details aren't mentioned.
That's true. I never noticed that before.
Yeah, so it's almost as if the psalm is drawing on a slightly different version of the story.
It's like there's this hidden layer of detail that's been preserved through oral tradition.
Exactly. It's possible that these oral traditions held on to these extra details, these vivid elements,
right,
that weren't captured in the written text of Exodus.
Okay, so that's one example.
Yeah.
What other clues do we have that oral tradition might be adding to the story?
Well, in Joshua 24.2, there's a covenant renewal ceremony where Joshua mentions that Abraham's father, Terah, and his brother, Nahor, worshipped other gods.
Right.
Now, if you think back to the Genesis account of Abraham's life,
yeah,
you might not remember that detail.
You're right. That information isn't explicitly stated in Genesis.
Right. It's like Joshua had access to this information about Abraham's family history.
Yeah.
That wasn't included in the written text.
It's like he's drawing on those rich oral traditions.
Exactly.
About Abraham's ancestors.
Right.
That offer a glimpse into the past that we don't get from the written text alone.
Precisely.
So these examples suggest that even as the written scriptures were, you know, developing, oral tradition continued to exist alongside them.
Yeah.
And maybe even shaping how people understood those events.
Absolutely.
Here's another one, and this is from the New Testament.
Okay.
In 2 Timothy 3.8, the writer mentions those Egyptian magicians, Johns and Jambres,
right,
who oppose Moses.
Yeah.
Now, their names, you don't find those in Exodus.
You don't.
But they pop up centuries later.
That's right.
Like they were preserved in oral traditions,
right,
about that time period.
That's a possibility.
It makes you wonder what other details or stories might have been passed down orally that we don't have written records of.
It's a really fascinating thought, isn't it?
It really challenges us to think about how we approach these texts.
For sure.
Okay, so we've talked about the evidence for the prophets being writers.
Right.
And now we've kind of seen how oral tradition might have added another layer.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as just assuming everything was written down.
Right.
Or that everything was only spoken.
Exactly.
Both written and oral traditions were likely intertwined, each contributing to the rich tapestry of, biblical history and teaching.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've explored that, the possibility of oral tradition supplementing the written scriptures.
Yeah.
But let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
Now that we've established that the prophets were likely writers, I'm curious about their individual styles.
Yes.
Did they all have the same approach to writing and communicating their messages?
Not at all. The prophets were incredibly diverse in their styles and approaches.
Okay.
You know, think of them as a diverse group of writers, each with their own unique voice and way of expressing their message.
I can picture that.
Yeah.
Some were poets weaving their messages into beautiful and evocative imagery.
Exactly. Then you have prophets like Amos, who were more direct and confrontational, using stark warnings and pronouncements to challenge their audiences.
And we can't forget prophets like Ezekiel.
Yes.
Who were known for their elaborate visions and symbolic actions.
Absolutely.
They used powerful imagery and symbolism to convey their message.
Yes, Ezekiel was a master of using symbolism and allegory to make his prophecies come alive.
Yeah.
He often acted out his messages in, in dramatic ways, creating these unforgettable visual experiences for his audience.
It's mind-blowing to think about the different approaches they used.
Yeah.
You have these poetic prophets crafting beautiful language,
yes.
Fiery preachers delivering their pronouncements with passion.
That's right.
And visionaries using symbolic actions to communicate their message.
Yes. Imagine hearing a prophet like Amos thundering his pronouncements of judgment in the marketplace.
Wow.
Or picture yourself witnessing Ezekiel lying on his side for months.
Right.
Symbolizing the siege of Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's a whole other level.
It would have been a truly arresting experience.
Absolutely. It's one thing to read these prophecies on a page.
Right.
But it's a whole other level to imagine how they would have been experienced in their original context.
For sure.
So we've got poets, fiery preachers, and visionaries.
Right.
But they weren't always speaking to the entire nation of Israel, right?
Not necessarily.
Who were these prophets addressing their messages to?
Well, while some prophecies were directed to the nation as a whole,
okay.
Others were aimed at specific groups like kings, priests,
right.
Or even foreign nations.
So to understand their message, you have to understand who they were talking to.
Exactly.
And why.
Right.
Okay.
Take Isaiah, for instance.
Okay.
Many of his prophecies were addressed to the kings and people of Judah during a time of intense political turmoil and spiritual decline.
Yeah.
And so his messages were often filled with warnings of judgment if they didn't turn back to God.
He didn't sugarcoat things, did he?
No, he didn't.
But I guess when you believe your nation is heading down a dangerous path, you got to speak with that kind of urgency.
That's right.
But even in the midst of those warnings, Isaiah also offered messages of hope.
He did.
And restoration.
Yes.
He promised that a future king from the line of David would usher in an era of peace and righteousness.
Right.
Those messianic prophecies, some of the most powerful and enduring passages in Isaiah.
Absolutely. They have a profound impact on both Jewish and Christian thought throughout history.
It's amazing to think about how these ancient prophecies still resonate with us today.
They do.
They speak to our deepest longings for peace.
Yes.
Justice and a world transformed by God's love.
They do.
So to really understand these prophets, we need to do more than just read their words.
That's right.
We need to understand their historical context.
Right.
Their writing styles and who they were talking to.
Exactly.
It's like being detectives of the ancient world.
It is.
Piecing together the puzzle of their message.
You got it. It's a journey of discovery, and there's always something new to learn.
Okay, so we've talked about writing styles, audiences.
Yeah.
But here's the big question. Did people actually listen to the prophets?
Right.
Did their words have any, real impact?
That is the million-dollar question. It's hard to know for sure how much impact each prophet had in their own time.
Right.
Some were definitely more successful than others.
I imagine some prophets faced resistance.
Oh, for sure.
Or even persecution for their bold pronouncements.
Absolutely.
Speaking truth to power can be dangerous, especially when those in power don't want to hear it.
Right. Think of Jeremiah, for example.
Yeah.
He faced intense opposition and was even imprisoned for his message.
Yeah. But even when their words were immediately heeded,
right.
They planted seeds of truth that often bore fruit later on.
They did. It's like those seeds that lie dormant in the ground, waiting for the right conditions to sprout and grow.
So even if the impact wasn't always immediate,
right.
Their words continued to echo through history.
Absolutely. Think about the influence of the prophets on the development of Jewish thought and practice.
Yeah.
Their writings helped shape the nation's understanding of God,
right.
Their relationship with him, and the importance of justice and righteousness.
Yeah.
And we can't forget their influence on Christianity.
Oh, right. The New Testament is full of references to the prophets.
Yes. Early Christians saw Jesus as the fulfillment of those prophecies.
Especially those messianic ones that pointed towards the coming of Jesus.
Exactly. And they relied heavily on the prophets' writings to understand his mission and message.
So even though we don't have a, you know, complete picture of the immediate impact.
Right.
It's clear that their legacy is woven into the fabric of both Judaism and Christianity.
It is.
Their words continue to shape our understanding of God.
For sure.
Faith and the human condition.
And in a way, their message is timeless.
Yeah.
You know, it speaks to those universal struggles between good and evil.
Right.
The consequences of our choices, the longing for justice, and the hope for redemption.
Yeah.
Those are themes that transcend any particular time or place.
This deep dive has really opened my eyes to the enduring power of the prophets.
It's not just ancient history.
Yeah.
It's a story that's still unfolding today.
I'm already looking forward to our next deep dive.
Me too.
But before we wrap up this one,
yeah.
Anything else you want to share about the prophets or their writings? Any like final insights you want to leave our listener with?
I think it's important to remember that the prophets weren't just, fortune tellers,
right,
or loom and gloom preachers.
Mm-hmm.
They were deeply spiritual people who were passionate about God and their relationship with him.
They were called to speak truth to power.
Yes.
Even when it was unpopular or dangerous.
Right.
They challenged injustice, called people to repentance,
yeah,
and offered a message of hope.
Absolutely.
Even in the darkest of times.
That's right. And I think their courage and their commitment to justice should inspire us today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a world that's still grappling with so many of the same issues that the prophets addressed.
Right.
War, poverty, injustice, and spiritual apathy.
Their words can speak to us just as powerfully as they spoke to the people of their time.
Absolutely.
So by studying them,
yeah,
we can gain insights into God's character,
right,
his hopes for humanity, and how we can live lives of faithfulness in a world that often feels broken and lost.
This has been such an enriching journey.
Me too. I'm starting to see the prophets in a whole new light.
I'm glad to hear that. That's the goal of these deep dives.
Yeah.
You know, it's about exploring, questioning, and discovering new layers of meaning in these ancient texts.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this incredible deep dive into the world of the prophets.
Okay.
You've given us so much to think about. What final thought would you like to leave our listener with today?
I'd say this. Don't be intimidated by the prophets.
Okay.
Their writings might seem daunting at first.
Right.
But their messages are as relevant and challenging today as they were centuries ago.
They can speak to our deepest hopes and fears, offer guidance in times of uncertainty, and inspire us to lives of justice, compassion, and faithfulness.
That's beautifully said. I couldn't agree more.
And to our listener, keep those sources coming. We love diving deep into the topics that fascinate you, uncovering those hidden gems of knowledge, and exploring new perspectives together.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking truth.
Happy learning. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're on the final part of our exploration into the world of the prophets.
It's been quite a journey.
It really has. We've looked at how their messages were transmitted,
right,
dove into those different writing styles and who they were speaking to, and even how their words have impacted history and even today.
Yes.
There's one more thing I want to kind of touch on before the wrap up.
Okay.
And that's that fascinating idea of how oral and written tradition might have been intertwined.
You're right. It's something we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth revisiting.
Even though we established that the prophets were likely writers.
Right.
We can't just, you know, ignore that oral tradition might have played a role.
No, not at all.
In shaping and transmitting those messages.
Right.
You mentioned some examples where details in the Psalms or other texts might have come from oral traditions,
right,
things that weren't necessarily in the written scriptures.
Right.
It makes you think about all those layers of history and meaning that could be in these texts.
It really is fascinating, isn't it? It suggests that there's this whole other dimension of understanding,
right,
that we can access if we consider the influence of oral tradition.
So it's not just the text itself.
It's not.
But it's those oral traditions around it.
That's right. Think of it like this.
Okay.
You've got the written text, which is like the foundation of a building.
Okay.
But then you've got these oral traditions,
yeah,
these stories and interpretations,
yeah,
that have been passed down, like the walls and roof of the building, adding all these layers of richness and complexity.
That's a great analogy. It makes you wonder if there are other stories, teachings, or even prophecies,
right,
that were passed down but never actually written down.
It's a question that has intrigued scholars for centuries.
Right. Like there might be lost pieces of the puzzle.
Right.
Echoes of the past.
And while we may never have all the answers,
yeah,
it reminds us that the Bible, as we have it today,
right,
is the result of a long and complex process,
yeah,
of selection, transmission, and interpretation.
Right. It wasn't just a book that dropped out of the sky.
Yeah.
It's a collection of texts that were carefully chosen,
right,
copied, and passed down over generations.
Exactly. And that underscores how important it is to understand the historical and cultural context of the Bible.
To really grasp the prophets and their messages.
We need to immerse ourselves in the world they lived in.
Right.
The challenges they faced and how they communicated.
It's like stepping back in time.
It is.
Trying to see through their eyes,
right.
Hear their words with their ears.
It's about understanding not just what they said, but why they said it.
Yeah.
And how it would have been received by the people who first heard it.
Exactly. And there's always something new to learn.
There was.
A fresh insight to gain, a deeper layer of meaning to uncover.
It's a journey of discovery that never really ends.
This deep dive has left me with more questions than answers.
That's good.
But in a good way, it's made me curious to learn more.
That's the goal.
To keep exploring these texts and where they came from.
That's the beauty of engaging with the Bible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a closed book.
Right.
It's an invitation to a lifelong journey of discovery and reflection.
And on that note, it's time to wrap up our deep dive into the world of the prophets.
Okay.
What final thought would you leave our listener with?
I would just say, don't be afraid to engage with the prophets and their writings.
Okay.
They might seem daunting at first, but those messages are as relevant today as they were all those centuries ago.
Their words can really speak to our deepest hopes and fears, offer us guidance in times of uncertainty, and inspire us to live lives of justice, compassion, and faithfulness.
That's beautifully said. I couldn't agree more.
To our listeners, thank you so much for sharing your curiosity and your sources with us. We love diving into these topics that you're interested in, uncovering those hidden gems of knowledge, and exploring these new perspectives together.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking truth.
Happy learning.